It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Hemp farmers in the region are coming up short, really short, on the return on their investment into the fledgling industry.
I'm not making any money. I'm not gonna make anything. There's no doubt about it. And I hope nobody grows down there. There's just no reason to.
We'll have that and more coming up on this West Virginia morning. Those protesting pipelines and other industrial sites could be subject to fines and imprisonment under a new bill being considered in the West Virginia House of Delegates. As Dave Mistich reports, the lower chamber's Judiciary Committee held a public hearing Monday on a measure known as the West Virginia Critical Infrastructure Protection Act.
House Bill 4615 would designate and protect facilities the measure deems critical infrastructure, including oil refineries, natural gas operations, telecommunications infrastructure, railroads, chemical plants, government-regulated dams, and water treatment facilities. The measure would impose various jail sentences and fines for trespassing, vandalism, and conspiring with those who carry out those acts. A majority of those who spoke at Monday's public hearing opposed House Bill 4615, citing the First Amendment right to free expression. Many said the measure would be redundant, citing state laws already on the books that prohibit trespassing and vandalism. Of the 26 speakers at the hearing, only three spoke in favor of the proposal. House Bill 4615 mirrors model legislation from the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC, a conservative nonprofit that shares state legislation. 10 other states have adopted similar laws. Last year, a U.S. district judge blocked South Dakota's law and stated that it violated the right to free speech, which ultimately led to the governor and attorney general backing off on defending the legislation. A challenge to Louisiana's anti-protest law is currently making its way through the courts in that state. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich at the Capitol.
Three people were transported to a hospital in Morgantown yesterday afternoon after a rock slide sent a small boulder careening onto the Personal Rapid Transit, or PRT, car near West Virginia University. PRT transports students between the downtown and Evansdale campuses of WVU. According to information released by the PRT's official Twitter account, a boulder struck a PRT vehicle between the Engineering and Beechhurst stations. Emergency services were called to the scene. Debris from the incident has closed multiple roads in the area, including a portion of Monongahela Boulevard. A university press release says two of the people taken to the hospital for evaluation were from a PRT car and one from a vehicle on the roadway. A new study has found that when grandparents live in the home, grandchildren have an almost 30% risk of developing childhood obesity and being overweight. Carol Lofton reports.
The authors reviewed 23 studies across the globe. They found that when grandparents were either the main caregiver or lived in the home with the children, children had 30% increased risk in being overweight or obese. The risk seemed to be present no matter where in the world the child lived. The authors say grandparents can have a big influence on both daily diet, for instance giving sweets and fried foods as a token of love, or through physical activity, being more likely to excuse a child from chores, for instance. In West Virginia, about 21,000 grandparents are raising grandchildren. The study was published online in the journal Childhood Obesity. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Carol Lofton.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:48. Areas of rain and fog today. Highs in the 40s and low 50s. Mostly cloudy tonight with lows in the 30s. A chance of rain tomorrow with highs in the 40s and low 50s. Support for WVPB is provided by Charleston Town Center, presenting a Valentine's Day party and a meet and greet with the Cat in the Hat, February 15th at 11 a.m. in the Picnic Place Food Court. Details at charlestontowncenter.com. WV511 is reporting a major vehicle crash in Kanawha County, eastbound U.S. 60 at Mile Branch. The booming demand for CBD products has pushed Ohio Valley farmers to grow more hemp than ever before since the crop was reintroduced. CBD is a compound made from hemp that many claim has medicinal benefits. But the price of hemp has crashed for farmers. And Gincana, one of the most prominent hemp companies in the Ohio Valley, filed for bankruptcy last week. Liam Nehemiah reports many hemp farmers are feeling burned in an industry they believe was overhyped.
John Fuller is waiting on his farm near Owensboro, Kentucky, for another farmer he's never met before to talk about a situation he never imagined he would be
there's
in.
There's some pirates that are out here, just pirates. I was trying to get with good ethical processors, been a real challenge for us.
Soon, Bobby Huff arrives from East Kentucky.
Looks like Bobby
doing okay.
Good deal.
Yeah, nice to meet you, Bobby.
Liam,
yeah.
Perfect.
Fuller and Huff are among dozens of hemp farmers throughout the state who signed contracts last year to sell their hemp to a company processing it into CBD oil, Owensboro-based Bluegrass Bioextracts. But in November, the owners of Bluegrass Bioextracts sold the company to a Nevada limited liability company, D-Tech Ventures. The company then told their farmers they couldn't accept their hemp because it tested high for heavy metals. Fuller did his own test that showed his hemp was fine, and he and Huff believe the company is lying to not pay out contracts. Fuller has already more than $250,000 invested.
I can get by with my day job if this whole farming thing tanked. But the farmers that used hemp in place of tobacco for last year, they're not going to get paid for their crop.
Former Bluegrass Bioextracts owners are now suing D-Tech Ventures for $69 million, in part for not fulfilling farmers' contracts. And Fuller held a press conference 2 weeks ago with even more farmers who say they were burned. The former owners of Bluegrass Bioextracts declined to comment because of the lawsuit. D-Tech Ventures did not respond for comment. And this was happening while the price of hemp has crashed.
When we started out 2019, I had $5 per percent CBD. Now fast forward to the end of 2019, now we're looking at less than $1 per percent CBD. That's a huge change.
That's Tyler Mark, an agricultural economist at the University of Kentucky. He says the price of hemp has crashed more than 75% because of a nationwide glut of hemp. And if hemp processing companies had contracted farmers a lot more money for hemp than what hemp is selling for right now,
they've got definite cash flow problems.
Bluegrass Bioextracts isn't the only CBD processing company in financial trouble. Gincana in Central Kentucky filed for bankruptcy during a months-long court battle, and other hemp companies across the country are facing lawsuits and litigation. Katie Moyer owns the processing company Kentucky Hemp Works and sits on a state advisory board for hemp. And she says processors, farmers, and the Kentucky Department of Agriculture all share blame for overhyping the industry.
But some of these processors, they got some investments, they put some machinery into an old building, they sold out, and they left the farmers holding the bag.
Kentucky Commissioner of Agriculture Ryan Quarles says his department is discussing how processors could be held more accountable to pay farmers. Quarles instead puts blame on inaction by federal officials on how CBD could be regulated, which has big financial implications.
The biggest cause of this is the federal government's lack of response.
But back in West Kentucky, little of that matters for farmer Bobby Huff. All he's left with is regret.
I'm not making any money. I'm not gonna make anything. There's no doubt about it. And I hope nobody grows down there. There's just no reason to.
For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Liam Niemeyer.
The Ohio Valley Resource is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. In his second term, Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf has set ambitious climate goals for the state. But he's also embraced the carbon-emitting petrochemical industry. For State Impact Pennsylvania, the Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier looks at the governor's tightrope on climate.
Since his second term began last year, there's been a theme for Tom Wolf's tenure as Pennsylvania governor: climate change. Here he is last year talking about climate-related floods that have recently hit Pennsylvania.
That's affected our farmers and the crops that they grow. It's devastated homes. This is affecting all of our lives each and every day.
Wolf made the remarks while announcing a goal of 80% carbon reductions in the state by 2050, the first of its kind. Since then, Wolf has followed that up with plans to join regional initiatives to reduce carbon from the transportation and electricity sectors. These steps pleased many in the environmental community, including Joe Minot of the Clean Air Council.
He understands climate change, believes that it is already having an impact on Pennsylvania, and is proposing to address it.
While Minot says Wolf deserves praise, there is a but. Wolf supports Shell's Beaver County ethane cracker, a massive plant that will turn natural gas into plastic pellets. Here he is in 2016.
And if the cracker plant works and does what I think it's going to do, and we do what we need to do with the education and transportation and all the other infrastructure, then these jobs are going to be here.
Along with jobs, Minot says the ethane cracker will bring something else, a big carbon footprint, which will counteract Wolf's own climate goals. For one, it will further entrench natural gas in the state's economy. Though it produces less CO2 than coal and has helped the state lower its greenhouse gas output in recent years, natural gas wells can leak the potent greenhouse gas methane into the atmosphere. And
the petrochemical plant itself is a humongous emitter of greenhouse gases.
The Beaver County plant is permitted to emit more than 2 million tons of carbon dioxide, the equivalent CO2 of 400,000 more cars on the road. Leah Stokes of the University of California, Santa Barbara, says promoting any new fossil fuels at this point, even natural gas, could tip the world over the edge of climate catastrophe by mid-century.
What the modeling shows is that if we want to keep warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius, which many consider a sort of safe warming level, if we want to do that, we cannot build any new fossil fuel infrastructure.
But Wolf has maintained that natural gas, while not perfect, can be done better. He's proposed a severance tax on gas and rules to limit methane leaks at wells and tightening other drilling regulations. The governor's spokesman, J.J. Abbott, says Wolf's been hemmed in by a GOP legislature that wants fewer rules on oil and gas, not more.
And I believe the governor has been a backstop against some of the the proposals that would reduce our ability to hold the industry accountable to high environmental standards.
Wolf's stance on the industry has placated the state's biggest trade unions, a major source of support in his own Democratic Party. Jeff Nobers of the Builders Guild of Western Pennsylvania said Wolf's pragmatic approach is better for unions in Pennsylvania than that taken by Democratic presidential candidates Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, who've both called for a ban on fracking.
You know, I think the governor is trying to take a very, you know, middle of the road approach to this, you know, ensuring certain things on one side while still being able to, you know, take advantage of, if you will, and grow an industry and create jobs.
This strategy plays well in Pennsylvania, says Chris Borick, a political science professor at Muhlenberg College.
He's found a spot that I think aligns very well with Pennsylvania public opinion. He's never called for a moratorium on natural gas, but he's been strong in his proposals and demands for an extraction tax.
Borick thinks in a purple state like Pennsylvania, Wolf's balancing act might provide a blueprint for other Democrats to follow to win elections. That's because while voters are getting more concerned about climate, it's still not as important to them as other issues, like jobs. Reed Frazier, State Impact Pennsylvania.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our news director and producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.